have wonderful music, beautiful, gracious folks, and have a wonderful meeting. The other times when I preach revival, especially the first time, I won't be as nervous today about going home and finding my way through the woods when the sun was down. That was challenging the first time. And so I'm not worried about that. I'm a little worried about staying awake after eating that meal at lunch, going back home in the sunshine. But I am thrilled to be here. And I'm grateful for John's invitation. And I'm grateful for you and this wonderful choir, Sally, and all of the musicians. It's a blessing to come to Walker, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here. Let's bow together in prayer as we prepare to hear God's word. Oh Lord, you were here before we got here, and you will remain here when we're gone. But in these moments together, oh Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight, oh Lord, my strength and our Redeemer. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
The scripture lesson John showed me was printed in your bulletin, and I hope you'll follow along. From the Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter, beginning with the first verse. These are familiar words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We had homecoming occasionally at Bethany when I was growing up, but the churches in the suburb didn't have homecoming regularly. It's not like we would celebrate on special occasions, ever so 10 years or whatever celebration. But it may have been we had it more often than I can remember. It just didn't stick in my mind until I was a pastor and had to go and have them. John was talking about how young he was before the service. I remember that it was 45 years ago next month, I went to my first appointment as a pastor. I had four churches. And I remember that after I was there for a week, we had three revivals and homecomings within 4 weeks. And I was a skinny preacher starting off, but I've been big ever since. But I enjoy those occasions. I enjoy and look forward to homecomings and celebrating folks coming back and celebrating our church and our history, the richness of this place. One of the things I've also started doing in my advancing years, I've gotten the habit, which I never used to read them at all. I read two things first in the local newspaper in Baldwin County, Union Recorder. I read the comics usually first, because they're usually the only one in the only time we have a second section that's in the comics are easy to get to, so I go ahead and read them. And the other articles I read the most are the obituaries. I won't find out if I'm in them, number one. And number two is I started keeping up with how many folks every time they'd have a list of them in the paper, how many of them are older than me, which I celebrate, and how many surprises me are younger than I am, which I mourn even more. It's amazing. And one of the things that I learned by reading the obituaries, that African Americans in our community that are predominantly African American in the, using that funeral home, that particular funeral home, those funeral homes have a better language in their obituaries. They talk about home goings, celebrations of home goings. And I like that vocabulary. Now, we in our rituals now, since the hymnal we use now come out, talks about the celebration of life, and we still call them funerals. Of course, some places I preach seemed like a funeral when it was supposed to be a worship service on a regular Sunday, much less when it was a funeral. But I love that terminology, home going. Sometimes we get a little ahead of ourselves. Sometimes we ought to have a homecoming before a homegoing. It amazes me sometimes. What saddens, breaks my heart. You can tell how the obituary is written. That these folks, odds were, are unchurched. Not only do they not have a funeral at the church, they don't have a pastor. And oftentimes, they will simply say, now sometimes there are reasons logistically, I get that. But sometimes, you read that they will have a private service. And my heart breaks. I wish we had more homecomings before we have homegoings. I know some folks that need to come home before they go home. As a pastor, I've used this text often in funerals. Not always, not very often really as my main text, but it's often read in funerals. It's often used and even sometimes requested in funerals. I just fairly recently started using it in homecomings. And it was really after a period where we had several family funerals together. I've also reached that age where I've had funerals. In fact, last February, I've come to a mayor's gathering here at Walker, and on the way out, I found out my aunt, who's younger than I am, there was nothing else they could do for her. And a few short weeks later, had her funeral. I've had too many funerals where I didn't know. It's easy when you can celebrate. And it's God's business and judgment. But yet, sometimes, we know folks for a variety of reasons that are strayed and need to come home. First thing I want to share with you this morning is that we make lots of preparations for homecoming. But have we made preparations for our own homecoming? I said one of the things I enjoy about getting to come preach with you for homecoming day, I got to see the beauty of the grounds in the daylight. Now, I've ridden by here before in daylight, so it's not the first time. But I knew that this beautiful church on this beautiful grounds would be prepared for company coming. It would be a beautiful place to drive up to today, and it was and is. It doesn't just happen. Preacher Chuck shared with us about the folks that had prepared the meal. Folks who cooked. Folks who cleaned. I couldn't find anything on the floor anywhere. And I'm sure some of you are here because somebody invited you. You came back home. You're visiting folks who are here, or you're celebrating what this church has meant to you in different ways. Many folks have done things to get ready for this day. So is Jesus. If you look back at the first part of the third verse, if I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus prepares a place for you. There is a place in heaven for your homecoming. Jesus has prepared. I love when company comes. I really prefer them to surprise us. Because by the time when we know they're coming, by the time my wife is satisfied with our preparations, I'm too tired to enjoy the visit. And I can't find nothing. But you know, it's awful frustrating. Maybe this doesn't happen to you. But I get real frustrated when one of my children say they're going to come visit us. We get everything ready. We move beds around. We get cribs and where they need to go and all that stuff. And then they call and say, something's happened. We're not going to be able to come. And I said, am I supposed to be glad about that or relieved or what is that? But it's depressing when you've cleaned the whole house and you've gotten ready and you've done whatever you've done to do to get ready for company and then they don't show up. Wouldn't that be bad if that's what we did to Jesus? Jesus has prepared a place for us. You're still awake. That's good. I'm not watching what I said. That's all right. Get up. So you turn around and watch my doctor. Not to look at them to see if they wait to listen to you. That's what I do. Do it once, they'll pay attention the rest of the time. The fact of the matter is, a place is prepared for us by Jesus. And we're not going to show up for it. Some of the folks that's gone before us are going to be disappointed when we don't make it. The second thing I wanted to share with you this morning is that at the end of that third verse is our hope. Jesus also says, where I am, there you may be also. Where I am. There is no uncertainty whatsoever about where Jesus is. If you brought your Bibles, I know we make it easy on you so I don't have to bring them anymore, but if you brought them, if you turn over to Acts, the first chapter, the ninth, beginning with the ninth verse, I'm going to read three verses that shows us where he is with certainty. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside him. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. We know where he is. Jesus says, where I am, there you shall be also. You may be. You is a personal invitation. I'm glad Jesus wasn't Southern. He didn't say y'all. He said you. It means in person. You see, if we talk about everybody, Jesus prepared a place for everybody, we can sort of think we can fit in and slip into that or just ignore it because it'll be such a crowd that he won't know that we're not there. But it's a personal invitation. Well, I still get invited to some things. I don't get invited as much as I did before I retired. And John, when I was superintendent, I got invited to more things than I wanted to go to. I didn't go to many of them. Because especially if the invitation was just made on a public announcement, I love it now that I don't have to go anywhere unless my wife tells me I got to go. Because just because we're inviting the crowd, now I'm going to go to something Tuesday because she wants to go to it. Well, I think it's going to be now. I do want to go to it. But there's a public announcement about a Georgia exhibit that's going to be in the library in Millersville Tuesday for 4 hours of sports memorabilia. So I'm going to go. But I don't go to many things that are public announcements. If you want me to come, you're going to have to invite me personally. You know, I like it when I have a name plate at the table so I don't have to figure out where to sit. You know, all that kind of stuff. If you invite me personally, you also sometimes have to say yes even if you don't want to. You know, people will invite you. And you want to go. Jesus has given us an invitation to make it in heaven. But there's a warning there. There's a warning there. He says, maybe a place has been prepared for us and we may go, but we may not. Jesus has given us a possibility, but not a certainty. I love the song we sang this morning. Yeah, we sang it as you played. Sad play to begin to. When we all get to heaven, what a glorious day that will be. I love singing that song. Now, I don't know, well, I know some of you all here, but I know as a pastor sometimes, especially when we have a family funeral, I'm not sure all my family's going to make it. And so sometimes I think we in the church, we get fired up about singing when we all get to heaven. But the odds are, we ain't all going to make it. It'd be nice if we did. And we might. But we might not. We have a choice. Will we make it? Well, how do we get to heaven? Well, the third thing in our text, Jesus provides us a roadmap. Look at verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus was providing the directions that Thomas sought. We don't know how to go, Lord. Well, you just follow me. You've got to decide if you want to follow me. That's what the early Christians had to do. They had to decide if they were going to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. The early Christians were called people of the way because they followed the way of Jesus. Do we follow the way or we just make brief stops for self-service? Or do we live in the way? Jesus also said, no one comes to the Father but through me. My wife is a pastor. I love being retired, particularly since my wife works two jobs so I can be well kept. that. And so she is preaching this morning. And but one of the things that gets under my wife's skin more than anything is when some folks in the world today will say, Jesus is not the way, Jesus is one way among many. Ooh-wee. I forget what color her hair is, because she colors it now, you know, so I've forgotten what color it is. But it turns redder than mine when somebody starts saying Jesus is a way. And some folks are going to slip up and find Jesus ain't the way. This is a one-way street. Jesus is the way. And the only way we're going to get to heaven is by Jesus. The good news is he has paid the price for us. All we have to do is follow the way and claim the place he has prepared. The good news today is if we prepare for our home going by following Jesus as the way, then we can look forward to a great heavenly homecoming.
Amen.
Our final hymn is number 374, Standing on the Promises. Let's stand as we sing.